Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
That's why I'm switching. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Welcome back, everybody, to the program. Thank you for listening to AFR. Go to our Facebook or YouTube page and type in Today's Issues if you want to follow us there. Also, download the American Family Radio app and listen anywhere in the world, as long as you have high-speed internet. And we do have a lot of people who listen, obviously in the U.S., but around the world to AFR on our app. Yes, Ed.
Tim, I got to say, our Facebook fans, well, I don't know if they're fans, they watch the show. Online, but they're wondering why no popcorn. You didn't make a popcorn run.
Well, I didn't. That's kind of personal.
Yeah. You don't have to answer
with
it.
Me. And no, just to throw them off.
Yeah.
Just to throw folks off.
Well, they look for you to
I
come
do,
back.
Well, what happened is I normally get popcorn, but I got hung up talking to somebody.
Yeah.
For a few minutes, and it was important.
Slipped your mind.
It's important that I say what I needed to say, and so I was torn.
Yeah.
Between between finishing the conversation and getting the popcorn.
Yeah.
And all right, so Steve Jordahl is with us now. How you doing, Brother Steve?
I'm well, thank you very much, and happy National Chocolate Day.
Is that today?
Today, October 28th.
Hey, that was tomorrow.
Chocolate
today.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's
chocolate
just wrong.
Is that wrong?
That's just wrong.
We have caramel popcorn. That's not wrong.
Yeah, I don't like that
but
either.
Today, on National Chocolate Day, it could be good. And to boot, the last week of October is Pastoral Care Week.
Pastoral Care Week?
Yeah. So you should get your
plus
pastor.
Plus Saturday. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you should get your pastor some chocolates today.
Plus Saturday is my wife's birthday.
Yeah.
October 31st.
I
always tell people,
look, my wife,
she's my treat, not my treat.
That's sweet, yeah.
Just to round things off, October is Bat Appreciation Month, of course. You all knew that.
Bat Appreciation?
Yes. So
Diane is the 31st, Halloween.
31st, yeah.
And my Allison's is the 30th. So.
Oh, okay.
So whatever I do, you'll have to top, I guess. Because Allison's Friday, yours is Saturday.
Well, I already got my wife, unbeknownst to me, I already got my wife a gecko. She liked it, but then she's already taken it back.
I'm sorry, what?
A gecko.
You got her a gecko for her birthday?
She got
some insurance.
It. She said,
did you save 15%?
Well played, sir. Virtual fist bump. I didn't know I had gotten it for her. She said, hey, I got my birthday present. But she's already taken it back. She said, I'm not doing the crickets anymore.
Huh.
Listen, one time I got her a chameleon.
Man, you have lost me.
A gecko, a lizard.
I know, a lizard. Oh, you're serious.
I'm serious.
I thought you were kidding. Okay.
One time I got her for, I don't know, Mother's Day, birthday, whatever. I got her a chameleon. Also, I didn't know that I got it for her. So I come home from work. She said, hey, look what you got me for whatever occasion it was. You know, the chameleon with the eyes that go different ways.
Yeah.
And she says, watch this. She put the crickets in the cage. And that thing's... One of those eyes looks down, and then the tongue across the cage. It was pretty cool.
Did you get that in slow motion? You can put that on NGO.
Yeah.
If you get it in slow motion, whatever they call it.
Yeah. So anyway, I know I
digress. Wow, that's out of the box gifts right there.
Oh yeah.
Exotic animals.
And I
never even thought about that.
And the great thing is, I don't have to pick these things out. My wife just goes and she says, this is what
you got me.
You
just say, honey, go get whatever you want for your birthday.
Right.
And it's from me.
Yes. She just gets it and tells me.
That strikes me as a woman who maybe spent the first 5 or 6 years of her marriage not getting exactly what she wanted for her birthday.
No, that's not what happened.
Okay.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? I surprised my wife. I will tell you this, and then we got to get the serious news. Her first birthday, our first year of marriage, she had told me about when she was growing up. She had a parakeet named Pete.
Yeah.
And I went and surprised her. Left it with I was at Bible college. We were at Bible college. Left it for about a week with the two girls. We were in the apartment next door. Mm-hmm. And then on her birthday, I got her another Pete, another with a nice bamboo cage, and Pete the parakeet.
Did you name it Repeat?
Actually, that was one of, actually, that was one of our jokes, yes. It was just as funny back in 1981 as it is now. Anyway, so she loved that present, so there, Jordal.
We got a dog 7 years ago because I don't know. People don't care about this. But how much can you talk about politics, right?
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, Alice and I were on a vacation by ourselves, and we were in Destin, Florida. And this is 7 years ago, and she had been talking a little bit about maybe a dog. Our kid, we were empty nesters by then. Our last one was off at college. So I go golfing one afternoon, and she comes to pick me up from the golf course, and she says, "Well, I bought a dog." And I said, "What? You bought a dog?"
On vacation?
Well, she'd gone online.
Oh.
You can do this kind of thing nowadays. She went online and bought a and we had not had a dog our whole with the kids because I didn't need any more pressure.
Right. Stress,
So she bought a Maltese.
And now you're the dog's biggest fan.
But yeah, bought a Maltese. But listen to this. The Maltese was bought online. The Maltese was in Fort Lauderdale. And the Maltese.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a Maltese. So she shipped the Maltese, the lady who owned it, through Atlanta. And we picked it up at the airport down there in Destin.
Yeah, they do that all the time now. That's pretty common.
Picking up. Yeah. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, I'm serious too.
Yeah, Adam Suddeth, our producer over, is looking at us like that can't be real. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You've not heard of this? They ship animals everywhere now. At FedEx. Huh?
Yeah, and, you get to zip the box open. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah. So
that little dog's been with us ever since. 11-pound.
Every time you tell a
11-pound Maltese
about home, that dog is in the story with you. I think you're soft on this dog.
Oh, I love that dog now. Yeah. Now, it's one of those things where you say, you take care of it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And then, if you're human.
Yes, that's right. If you've got any kind of heart.
If you've got any kind of heart and you're around an animal like that, you start bonding with it, and that's what's happened. One time I got another
really
one.
Don't want to talk about
Adam, Adam's looking at us like he's never heard of this kind of stuff, shipping animals. Allison, my wife, Allison went to Memphis to pick up our lab, which belongs to my son Walker. This is 10 years ago or so. And so Allison drove to Memphis to pick up the lab because Walker was having baseball practice or something. Lab puppy.
Yeah.
And she said, I got up there. She said it was unbelievable. She said, we got pigs. These are coming off FedEx planes. Pig.
Yeah.
You got a pig. She said there was like a llama. For the zoo.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, you got all kind of critters coming off been in the belly of a plane.
Yeah.
Traveling all around.
So are those animals allowed to bring comfort humans along?
Comfort humans.
That was funny, Steve. Yeah. That really was. And clever.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Steve, depress us if you would.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. Well, right now on Capitol Hill in the Senate.
There we go.
Big tech is...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that right now on Capitol Hill in the Senate, big tech is on the hot seat. Mark Zuckerberg among those, and Jack Dorsey of Twitter among those that are taking questions from senators. It got a little heated between Ted Cruz and Jack Dorsey, who, by the way, if anybody's watching, looks a little bit like Rasputin these days.
Big, yeah, with
long
the big beard,
old beard and a ring in his nose. It's very, very Silicon Valley. Anyway, so Cruz, I don't have sound of this, but Cruz asked Dorsey about censoring the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden China thing, because you know that Twitter took down anything that referred to this Hunter Biden scandal. And the reply from Dorsey was that the New York Post can unlock its Twitter account if it deletes the tweets in question. To which Mr. Cruz said to Jack, "Mr. Dorsey, who the heck elected you?" Except he used a little bit more colorful word. "And why do you continue to operate as a Democrat super PAC?" So, wow. Yeah, little flames going on there.
How did Rasputin reply?
"I curse you for 100 years." I don't know. I don't have that.
Rasputin, the mad monk.
Yeah.
They said was very influential in pre-revolutionary Russia.
I don't have that. This is, I'm reading reporting
he
from Chad Berger.
He does look like that.
It doesn't he?
I'm looking at his picture. That's very...
Why are they up there, though? What possible consequences could Twitter and or Facebook suffer for being politically motivated to suppress stories that are critical of Joe Biden?
There's two things that Congress could do, and both sides of the aisle, one wants to do one. The Democrats want to do one, and the Republicans want to do the other. The Republicans would like to take what's known as Section 230, which is the Communications Decency Act. It says that these social media platforms cannot be held liable for anything that's posted on them. If I post something that says that Ed Vitagliano's in the mafia, and that's like he wants to slander Ed or something, and he wants to bring a suit against Facebook or Twitter for putting that on, they're immune from that because they are what is known as a platform. They're just merely a convenience to let people talk, as opposed to if I was to print that in a newspaper, it would be liable. Because I'd have to prove it, or if I was maliciously maligning him. That's being called a publisher, and that's the difference, what the Republicans would like to do. Democrats just want to break up big tech. They think it's getting a little too
I'm
big.
I'm with them.
Yeah.
Huh? I can co-sponsor that.
Yeah, a lot of Republicans think that wouldn't be a bad idea either.
Right. I think there is bipartisan consensus for different reasons to break up these, in essence, monopolies. And that's what happens in America. Company gets too big and controls too much of a market of a given product, if that's where you want to put it. The U.S. Government can come in and break them up, right?
Trust busting.
But go ahead. Were you going to respond to the ethnic stereotyping?
Yeah, I was going to ask Steve Jordahl if he's got some sort of immunity.
Well,
it's about legal immunity. For
no, it's about
implying that I was in the mafia.
It's about 300 feet of immunity on Venus here. You can't get to me yet.
and there's no legal standing for U.S. courts on Venus. So
that's right.
You're outside of jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Ghosty.
All right. Hey, have you ever wondered why, if it's possible for a Christian to vote Democrat? With the, they believe the Democrats they advocate strongly for abortion and gay marriage and all these things. And there's a lot of Christians these days that are kind of courting. They don't necessarily like the abortion thing or the gay marriage thing, but they don't like President Trump. I want you to listen to a Catholic priest in Wisconsin. His name is James Altman. This has kind of caught fire on the internet. And he talks about whether Catholics or Christians could possibly cross the aisle to vote. Listen to Cut 10.
We can debate any SJW issue,
social justice
included
warrior,
in the USCCB's voting guide. However, we shall not debate murdering babies. And we shall not debate stem cell research. And we shall not debate non-binary propositions for holy matrimony. And ironically, the USCCB voting guide clearly and unequivocally states that Biden is on the godless side of each and every one of those three non-negotiable issues. Boom. Done. Game over. You cannot be Catholic. You cannot even be Christian and vote for Biden, period.
There you go.
Who was that?
That was a Catholic priest, Father James Altman, in Wisconsin. Just a, that was part of his parish, his mass sermon, his sermon at his church.
Now, the USCCB is...
stands for United States yeah, Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Right.
Now, in the Catholic doctrine, Ed, I think I've got this correct. Steve, you may know this too. Catholic doctrine, Catholic teaching, abortion is a mortal sin, right?
Yes, the Catholic Church makes a distinction between what's called mortal sins and venial sins. Now, I think I have this right from way back.
Speaking as a Protestant.
Yes. Who went to an all-boys Catholic high school. And so mortal would mean your soul is put in danger by committing these sins.
It's a more serious sin.
It is. You can go to hell for committing mortal sins if they are not confessed.
Okay. So if abortion is a mortal sin, as you just described it, because... it is, without question, killing an unborn baby. I mean, that's
right. That,
if you don't kill it, it grows into a full-born.
Right.
It's born. That's the reason they abort it. You stop it from growing.
Right.
So, but it is a human life.
Yes.
So that's the teaching and that's science. That's, we all know this, no matter how people might try to deny it by calling it reproductive rights or whatever euphemism you want to use there. You're killing an unborn baby. That's basically what abortion is. Now, so Joe Biden is a Catholic, right?
Yes.
That's what he says. He grew up Catholic. He's Catholic. What this priest is saying is what a lot of us who are Catholics and who aren't Catholics, who look at this and go, how can you be a member in good standing, if that's what you want to, way you want to phrase it, of a Roman Catholic congregation, if you are in favor of something that's considered a mortal sin?
Right. Well, and that's, and part of the, we had this, a little bit of a discussion about this in our story meeting this morning, but the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has, again, I'm not speaking as a Catholic, this is my perception, has generally been very weak in terms of confronting these kinds. A lot of Catholics do not agree with the church. They consider themselves practicing Catholics. Some are what's called lapsed Catholics. But the Conference of Catholic Bishops has, for 40 years, maybe more, not confronted these issues because so many people within the Catholic Church don't support Catholic teaching, and they don't want to lose all these people. So it's kind of like...
kind of like Protestants talking about divorce.
Bingo. You just bingoed there. They don't want to rock the boat. And so what you do is you have a... there have been Catholic bishops who have said, and you know, you cannot give communion to Nancy Pelosi or some other Catholic who promotes abortion, and they get roundly criticized. So there's kind of a hesitancy to get involved in these kind of issues.
Well, I guess I could understand, Steve, again, speaking as a non-Catholic, but one of my best friends is Catholic. Talk to him about this. But... if this were a lesser sin, what did you call it?
Venial.
Yeah,
sin.
Maybe I could understand. But you're talking about something Ed says that the church teaches if you participate in or advocate for, you could go to hell.
Yeah, Protestants and lapsed Christians aren't the only people that can kind of ignore conveniently things that their faith demands of them.
Yeah, but abortion?
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that there is some kind of a mental...
I just give kudos to this priest.
Yeah.
Right,
yes.
There.
Oh, absolutely.
We're saying it like you said it because listen, if you don't want to, the Catholic Church more than Protestant churches, there's a reason why they're Protestant, because they protested the hierarchy of the Church of Rome having authority over the soul, so to speak.
There were issues
among other things.
Okay. So I mean, I don't want to get into that too much, but I'm just saying, the Catholic Church, more than a Protestant evangelical church, is authoritarian, right?
Huh? Right.
It's authoritarian. So what I'm saying is, there's not a lot of leeway for.
I would say authoritative.
Authoritative.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pope speaks sometimes for God, right?
Under certain circumstances.
Rarely.
Right.
But the teaching of the church is absolute.
It's called the magisterium, and that's
okay. So I'm saying, so what I'm saying is, if you don't want to subscribe to that, then leave the church. But what people like Biden want to do is have it both ways. He wants to win an election with people who are, quote, pro-choice.
Right.
I would say they're pro-abortion. While at the same time saying, hey, I'm a good Christian. And so I need the Catholics to vote for me, and I need the pro-abortion crowd to vote for me. That's who I'm appealing to here. And do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
About have it both ways? And this priest is saying, let's hear that again. This priest is calling him out. It maybe not him specifically.
Well, he does.
No, he did. He mentioned Biden by name, didn't he?
Yep.
Let's play that again.
We can debate any SJW issue included in the USCCB's voting guide. However, we shall not debate murdering babies. And we shall not debate stem cell research. And we shall not debate non-binary propositions for holy matrimony. And ironically, the USCCB voting guide clearly and unequivocally states that Biden is on the godless side of each and every one of those three non-negotiable issues. Boom. Done. Game over. You cannot be Catholic. You cannot even be Christian. And vote for Biden, period.
You can't get any stronger than that.
What is he trying to say there? Exactly.
Wish he'd speak his mind, don't you?
Kind of wishy-washy, wasn't he?
Read between the lines. I'm tired of that. All right, listen, go, Steve.
We just got a couple minutes left. I'm just going to bring you the latest. This is breaking news from our friends at the Babylon Bee, because, you know, the best news always comes from them. CNN had a reaction to Amy Coney Barrett being confirmed. They are now, it is said, for the next week, flying the Chinese flag at half-mast.
What? Say that again?
CNN is flying the Chinese flag at half-mast because ACB was confirmed. They're kind of in the bucket for China.
Satire alert.
Yeah, well, obviously,
yes. Well, no, I know, but...
The Babylon, now, has it, Steve...
Babylon Bee.
The Babylon Bee, which is a, for the most part, Christian... satirical website.
Yeah.
So all their stories are satire. They're just poking fun. They're very funny, very creative.
Here's another one.
Well, hang on a second.
Okay.
Am I not mistaken? Haven't they been a couple of their stories been like fact checked?
Fact checked by yes. This isn't true. So this is another one. Two birds with one stone. Man protests racial injustice and completes Christmas shopping in one trip.
They have been the Babylon Bee, which I'll recommend it. It's very funny. They have been on fire for the last month.
Well, they've had great characters for material out there.
Right.
Yes.
Huh? Kamala Harris, very, Joe very Biden, funny. Even President Trump, the fly in Biden's hair. I mean, in Pence's hair.
By the way, some of our folks on on Facebook think I'm Catholic. I was not raised anything.
You went to a Catholic school.
I went to a Catholic high school. I've been an evangelical Christian since I was 20.
Right.
Before that, I was nothing. So, just to clarify.
All right, thank you for clarification.
Yeah,
Brother Ed. Okay, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Fred and Abe. And Adam, and you have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to AFR, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.